I surely desire your prayers this morning. I'm going to begin this morning from a scripture, 1 Corinthians 1, looking at verses 2 through 7. And this is to be an introduction to draw our minds in. I like the way that Paul, the apostle, addresses some of the letters that he wrote to the different churches, and he would address them as unto the church of Corinth, or whichever church it was. He said it was to those that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I like the way he addresses these letters, and I'm addressing the message this morning as though I am writing you a letter. And I am calling you saints. I believe that the Lord is preparing his saints for his coming. It goes on and it says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. I want to say that I thank God for each one of you. I thank the Lord for the grace that I see, for the power that he is working in your lives. So I am thankful for you this morning. And verse 5 says, in everything we are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. And verse 7 is part of my beginning thought, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to say that the messages of the hour are on that principle. You and I are waiting for the coming of the Lord. And then I want to go to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and look at verses 22 through 25 and then verse 37. And I'm going to paraphrase some of this. Verse 22, starting at 22, chapter 10. The first four verses there, three verses, it says, let us. So it's addressing not only you, but it's addressing me. It's all of us together. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke one another to love and good works. And then verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves or ourselves together. Let us not be slack as we see the day approaching. The scripture says, let us exhort one another, and so much more so as we see the day approaching. And then we skip down to verse 37, and it says, for yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. So our thought this morning is only a little opening there, that we might draw our minds in and be reminded Jesus is going to come again. It is not the message, but it's important that we be reminded of the coming of the Lord. He is coming for all the redeemed, and you and I are waiting for it. And the scripture says over in Peter that we should be watching and we should be hastening unto the day of the Lord. And we could be even saying, even so come, Lord Jesus. And maybe you don't feel quite like that. Maybe you're not anxious for the coming of the Lord, but it will come. So I believe what the Lord is wanting us to have in our minds today is that we will be alert and that we will be conscious and that we will be awake and that we will receive the warnings. I know that the message is not going to be new. I believe that we have heard it over and over down through our lives. And I believe that maybe from time to time it may be said in just a little bit different way. But I believe the Lord wants each of us this morning to be awake and alert. So I'm praying that the Lord will keep us conscious. Going to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And I want to look at verses 11 and 12. It starts out and it says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. We wrestle against powers. We wrestle against rulers of darkness in this world. We wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places. So I'm just saying that for us to understand now, we want to speak to you about the wiles of the devil. First of all, I want us to know the scripture and use the scripture. The scripture says that Satan knoweth he hath but a short time. Well, that was recorded ever so many thousand years ago. But don't you know he knows it now more than ever before? Satan, this thought came to my mind that Satan is pulling out all the stops. Have you ever heard that statement? It's an old statement. And what it says is he's using every means available. Every plan, every trick, he is now using it for you and for me. He has all of the other people, but he's working overtime to hinder the people of God. He's pulled out all the stops now. He's taking advantage of any reserve plan that he might have. He's going to use it now. Do you see why we need to be conscious? We need to be awake. We need to be alert. We need to be watching for the coming of the Lord. Do you sense the coming of the Lord? Do you feel it? We need to be conscious of that great day. So I'm going to give you what the definition of the word wiles of the devil. It is devious and cunning and stratagems. That's a new word, isn't it? I don't use that word very often. I've hardly even read that word, but very few times in my life. Stratagems. And we're going to use it this morning because of what it means. It's a plan, a scheme used to outwit or achieve an end. Stratagem. So wiles and stratagems are the same thing. It's employed in manipulating someone through threats, intimidation, or temptation. That's the plan of Satan now. It's his stratagem. Satan has a deliberate, hostile intent to beset you and me. I feel very intense this morning. I hope you sense and hear the intensity of the burden this morning, even in my voice. I'm hoping that you will receive it as intense as I feel. I'm going to make that last statement again. I read this and it really opened my thoughts up to the purpose that Satan has in these last days. Deliberate, hostile, intent. If you felt that someone was hostile toward you or had a deliberate intent to destroy you, would you be casual about it? Recently, in a message that we preached here, I spoke of a term that the Lord spoke to me. The Lord awakened me and he said, you can no longer live casually. These are meaningful things when the Lord speaks these things. We can live life and get so accustomed to the cares of life, the routine of life. I wake up in the morning, I do this, I clean my house, I go to my job, I go to school, I go wherever you go, you can get in such a routine. You're going to have to be conscious, fully conscious, not half asleep. You're going to have to stay awake and alert that the end of time is coming and the devil is your adversary and he has deliberate, hostile intentions toward you, toward me. And he does it for the purpose to beset you. Now that word beset, it's actually in the New Testament only once. It says besetting. You and I need to be careful, put away these things that are besetting us. We know our besetting sins, and we have to be aware and put them away. Those things that are a great temptation to us, Satan knows those things. So this word beset means to plague, afflict, trouble, worry, or harass. The enemy wants to harass the people of God. He has a purpose. He wants you to not have victory, or power, or grace, or faith. He is attacking the very foundations of your walk with the Lord. That's what he's going to attack. And we must be conscious, awake, alert, aware, watching, understanding. What is the next trick of the enemy? He has a plan. Yes. Remember, he's willing to work a lifetime. Oh, but thank God, our God is willing to work a lifetime. We're not here and helpless, nor are we hopeless. But we must be awake. We must be conscious. So he wants to worry us, harass us, afflict us, plague our minds, trouble us. The next scripture I want to give you is Luke 22 and 31. And Jesus said this. He actually said it to Peter, but I'm going to have you take this as the Lord speaking to you this morning. And so I'm just going to say, the Lord says, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. What do you think that means? Have you ever sifted wheat? Most of us have not literally sifted wheat, but we know what it means. The real thing can be saved. The true wheat, but there is chaff that is blown away, should be blown away. But what the devil wants out of your life and my life is to sift us where there is only the chaff that is left. You must be awake and alert and conscious of the plan of Satan to sift you and me. Earlier this year, the Lord gave us 5 messages on unforgiveness or forgiveness. I said at the time that I have never had the Lord give that many messages on that subject. As I was thinking about it, I believe that unforgiveness is a stratagem of Satan. It's a plan. Because it is so plain in his word. You might be living every way like a saint of God and have an offense that you're holding on to and that you're unforgiving, and the word of the Lord will stand at the judgment and condemn you to hell. Because it says, if you and I do not forgive, we will not be forgiven. There's no way around that scripture. I can be doing everything else right, but allowing bitterness and hatred and malice and unforgiveness in my heart will keep me out of heaven. So I'm thinking that this is one of the stratagems of Satan. In those messages, it was very plain that it's impossible but that offenses are going to come to you and to me. We're going to be hurt. We're going to be offended and wounded. Don't hold on to offenses. The weapon of warfare that is mighty through God to the pulling down of the stronghold of unforgiveness is what? Forgiveness. Oh, but I can't forgive. I can't forget. I want to tell you, if you will run to the one that can help you, he will help you. He'll give you that power, but you have to want it. You have to desire it. You have to seek for it. Because it's a plan of the devil. It's the thing that can keep you out of heaven. That will hinder you. I'm thinking of and you've heard it. I've heard it. I've heard messages where the minister will say that the true battleground is the mind. It's our mind. It's our thoughts, our reasonings, our feelings. Attitudes can be a part of the mind. I feel that today's strongholds targets our mind. Oh, we're not living. We've said it before. You and I are not living in the days of the martyrs. I preached a message on the nearness of eternity not very long ago. Told about the woman, 1940s, World War II or I, I don't, maybe it was earlier, 1919. She was a nurse, and it was during the war, and she got caught up in the underground by helping those to escape. and was arrested and condemned to die. She knew she would die the next day. You and I don't know when we're going to die. It is kept from us. We don't know the day of the Lord. We don't know the day of our death. But she did. And there's people today that do. But it was the nearness to eternity. The nearness of facing God that helped her to be prepared. Oh, I want to tell you, we need to be prepared. And there is a stronghold that the enemy is wanting to attack you and me in our minds. So what you and I allow in our minds, what we entertain in our minds, will determine the outcome of our battles. I'm thinking about, I woke up early this morning and thought about my mind. Have you ever really just thought about your mind? I mean, we're blessed to have a clear mind, a reasonable mind, a rational mind. You're blessed. But your mind doesn't shut down. Have you ever tried to go to sleep at night and you can't shut your mind down? The thoughts are continuing to go through the mind. And all day long, our mind is working. We're thinking, we're reasoning, we're affected by what we see, we're affected by what we hear, what you read, it does something, it says something in your mind. Our mind is always working, isn't it? I'm thankful for that. Are you thankful for a good mind? But the enemy has a stratagem. He has a plan to attack your mind. And so this morning, I want us to think about some of the ways our mind can be affected. Let's think about negative words and positive words. Let's consider the reaction to negative words in our mind. And then let's compare it to the positive words and how it would affect our mind. When you and I meet with, we're going to say, hard places. When I meet with a true test, a trial, the offense, and it affects my thoughts, the enemy will take advantage. If I entertain that, it will open up a little door for the enemy to take advantage of my mind. But just as light dispels darkness, if we turn to the spiritual things, it will dispel the negative. This is not just a philosophy. This is the Word of God. So if I turn to and say, I read the Bible, when my mind is being affected by something negative, if I turn away from it, what will it do? It will dispel the works of darkness, because darkness cannot stand in the face of light. So I'm thankful. I've experienced this. Actually, I've experienced some of this just this last week. So the positive will dispel the enemy's negative thoughts. So our burden this morning has to do with another stratagem of the enemy. And actually, Sarah spoke of some of it in her little exhortation or request this morning. But it is imaginations. And I believe this is as almost equal to the stratagem of unforgiveness or the plan. So we're going to speak about those negative imaginations and what they do and what imaginations are, thoughts. It creates images of possible scenarios. What are scenarios? Imaginations. Scenarios have not happened. It's just that there is a possibility. It is something that could happen. And so the enemy takes this imagination, this something that has not happened, but it could happen, and he takes some real liberties to cause our mind to waste time and energy, and it affects me. It affects my faith. It affects my ability to overcome doubts and fears. These mental images of what is not actually present. It's not even real. I don't even know if it's true. I don't even know. It could happen, but I don't know that it will happen. But it's just in my mind. And the devil has been the instigator. He produces possible scenarios that could happen. Anybody relate to that? Anybody ever been in a place where you had your mind affected by imaginations of what could happen? I have. So I'm going to expose the devil in his purpose of creating imaginations and what it does to our minds. Number one, it creates a battle, a spiritual battle, and you hardly know what to do with it. It almost overtakes us. Unless we can get a hold of the weapon of warfare that is mighty, we can almost be overrun by a spiritual battle that is imaginations. It can weaken my faith. It can destroy my peace. It charges my emotions. It creates doubts and fears. It creates anxiety and confusion. And then this one, it creates double-mindedness. And we don't think about that. And the scripture tells us a double-minded man is unstable. And this is a stratagem of the enemy. He doesn't want us to be effective. He wants us to be double-minded. What does double-mindedness mean? It means that if I'm under the power of his imaginations, I can't operate in faith. I have to get a hold of the things of God to resist it. And I have that power. I have that choice. I can entertain the imaginations and wallow in it. Don't you feel like sometimes when you're having a battle with imaginations, you're just almost wallowing in it? That's what the devil does. He weakens us. I want to go now to 1 Corinthians, very familiar scripture. the 10th chapter, but it is a powerful chapter. Thank the Lord for it. 2 Corinthians 10, and it is verses 3 through 6. It says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now what that means is, I am in this life, I am living life, I am facing all of the normal things that each one of us face. I'm facing the cares of life, I'm facing the temptations, I'm walking in this life in the flesh. This is common to man. The scripture says that a man is born of a woman and is but a few days and is full of trouble. This is part of it. It's part of our humanity. The fact that we live in this body, we have this mind. This mind works like God wants it to work, but it's up to us what we entertain in our mind. And then it says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of these imaginations. It's a stronghold. It's a stratagem of the enemy to attack you and me in our minds, to get us troubled, harassed in our minds on something that may never happen. It's only imaginations. And verse 5 tells us what to do now. Cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. What is that? I've got a choice now. I've got the imaginations on one hand, but I have knowledge. You and I have knowledge. We know what God can do. We know what He's done for us in the past. He's delivered us from sin. He's delivered us from the power of the devil. Yes, He is our adversary, and He's doing what He can. He has these stratagems. He's trying to cause you and me to have unforgiveness because He knows we'll be in His hell. But this is just as dangerous. It can take over our mind. It can be unreal. Oh, you all have heard me. I testified about it. The Lord woke me up one Saturday morning, and the Lord spoke so plainly to me. There is no grace for imaginations. God has grace for you and me for the true battles of life. When the enemy is fighting us, yes, He has grace for those things. He has grace in your temptations. He has grace in our trials. But when it comes to the enemy wallowing you in imaginations, there's no grace. You must resist it for grace to come. As the Lord spoke that to me, it might have been just the next night. I woke up in the middle of the night, and I had a battle of imaginations. What if this happens? What if that happens? And I want to tell you, I was in trouble in the middle of the night. And then the Lord said, there's no grace for imaginations. And I began to resist that thing. And I began to call on the name of the Lord. I want to tell you, the very fact that you call for help in the name of the Lord, grace will be there. Faith will be there. Faith works calling on the name of the Lord. Resisting the devil, he will flee. You must learn how to resist the devil. You must learn how to pray against the enemy of your soul and resist these thoughts that are plaguing your mind and vexing you and hindering you. It's His plan. And we must cast down imaginations. And the high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, what's that? Imaginations can make you question God, or question, will he hear you this time? Or will he work this time? Have you ever had those thoughts? What if he doesn't work this time? What if I die this time? What if I... And all of the what ifs, resist them. God is in control of his children. He knows how to help us. And when we call upon him, he will hear us. Thank the Lord. So cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And then do what? Bring every thought into captivity. Know when it's the devil. If it's not bringing you peace, if it's not promoting your spiritual walk with God, if it's hindering you, it is from the devil. And you have to bring those thoughts into captivity. And the way that you do that is begin to resist and rebuke. You and I are no match for the enemy. You have to do it in the name of Jesus. It is only by that name that he will stand rebuked in your behalf. Learn the secret of resisting the devil. God gives us power over Satan. Thank the Lord. And when we bring every thought into captivity, we do it then to the obedience of Christ. And he has other ways. He has other tools. He has the Word of God that can replace those things. Remember what I've tried to tell you in the past, that when you pray against something, when you rebuke something in the name of Jesus, then you have to replace it with something from God. Remember the story in the Word of God about the Jesus gave it to us, the example of the room that was empty and swept and garnished, but it wasn't filled. And that spirit came back to see if it was filled. It's the same principle as that. When you rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus, claim something from God to fill that place. If you're rebuking the thoughts and the imagination in the name of Jesus, then claim what? What do you want to claim? The thoughts of God, the peace of God. There's so many things that you can claim out of his word to replace that vexing spirit of imaginations that the enemy is trying to hinder you and me. And then I like the next verse too, having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Be encouraged. God gives us power over these stratagems of the enemy in these last days. Thank the Lord. So we cast it down and we exalt the power of God. Have you ever used, when the enemy has come against you in your mind, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world? Do you use that? Use the word of God to fight against the kingdom of Satan. Thank the Lord. So in closing, I have three scriptures. One is in Proverbs 4:23. And it says, keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. When the enemy is coming against us, it can affect our heart. Keep your heart with all diligence. The second one is in Psalms the 19th chapter, and is verse 14. And it says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart don't entertain the enemy's meditations." Don't allow it to throw you into a battle of doubt and fear. "Let the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight." What does the scripture say? That he will keep you and me in perfect peace if we do what? If our mind is stayed upon him. That's a key scripture. That's a key weapon. Keep your mind. When you feel your mind drifting over into imaginations that are not real, pull it back. And use the word of the Lord and fill your heart and mind with his word. The enemy. You know what the scripture says? That the devil believes and trembles. Why? Because Jesus has greater power than Satan. Yes. Jesus said to his disciples, when they said, "The devils are subject unto us," "Believe the devils are subject unto you in Jesus' name." But when they said that to Jesus, what did he say? He said, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." And it wasn't the heaven that we hear about. It was that lofty place where he controlled men's lives and minds. And he lost that power in the name of Jesus. And he loses that power in you and me when we use his word. His word is powerful. And our last scripture then is the one that says, "Finally, my brethren," Philippians 4 and 8. We could probably all quote it. "Finally, brethren, I'm going to tell you what to think about. Finally, brethren, you've got a weapon of warfare right here. This is what you think about. That which is in your mind, is it true? Is it honest? Is it just? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it a good report? Is there any virtue? Is there any praise?" And then it says, "Think on these things." Another scripture speaks about the mind of Christ. And it says, "Let this mind be in you." Thank the Lord. Yeah. I want to encourage us this morning. We are not helpless people. God is watching over us. And he knows when you and I are in a battle of imaginations. And he knows what it does to us. But he's saying, "Come unto me. I'll give you rest." Thank the Lord. Pray for me. I have these battles. I know them. I'm familiar with them. And I know that the enemy has a plan to hinder us in these last days through these imaginations. Pray for me.